And good Wednesday morning, live from the downtown area of Coffeyville. That's where we find our KGGF historic studios. I'm Sam Speck. Glad you're tuning in, whether it's over the app, over the web, or right here on your radio dial on AM 690. We're joined in studio by K-State Research and Extension agents, James Cooper and Jacob Weber. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
James, I haven't seen you in quite a little while. How you doing, my man?
Yeah, pretty good. Doing pretty good.
You haven't been the one to be selected into the radio. I know you guys have been shuffling around some new people as well, so I got to meet them the last couple of weeks. But again, gentlemen, I appreciate you coming on in here and joining us here. Usually how I like to get things rolling is with the courses. You guys know that. So, James, real quick, we'll get into it as well. But I know you guys got a noxious weed course coming up. I'm not sure if it's anytime soon, but certainly something to notch down on the calendar.
Yeah. So on August the 8th at the Southeast Kansas Extension Research Center, we're going to have a kind of a weed management workshop. It's going to be kind of focused on noxious weeds. But we'll also get into calibrating your sprayers and getting into pasture weed control, which is not always noxious. Some of those are just invasive weeds, and a number of other weed technologies, herbicides, and things like that. And so this is the time of year when we start to see all the blooms, and we got a lot of people are starting to think about, what am I going to do with all these weeds? Yeah. And so while some of them should have been already treated by now, there's some that are still later on in the fall is the right time to spray. So August the 8th from 5:30 to 9 at the Southeast Research Center, and just give us a call to sign up. So
great. And then I would imagine, is that the great Parsons location that you guys go to often?
Yes, yeah. It's on Ness Road on the north side of Parsons.
Great, so. Great. And is there any pre-registration process that you have to go to? Do you have to reserve a spot or price or anything like that?
Ideally speaking, I mean, there's going to be a dinner involved and all of that. So please, yeah, give us a call at one of your Wildcat Extension offices and to get signed up, so that way we know you're coming.
Great, great. Well, James, again, we haven't talked in a little while here, so noxious weeds, I'm sure that's something that you've gotten quite a few calls from or anything like that, but really I want to ask you, because we've gone through quite the last few months in terms of precipitation and in terms of comparison from year to year here, so I'd like to ask, what's the major difference or major concerns that you've been hearing from year to year comparatively? And then also, I would imagine it's going to affect some pricing as well, maybe potentially throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah. And so right now, kind of what's going on is actually kind of dried out a little bit, honestly, in the last little bit. Yeah. And it's a little worrisome because some of the plants, they don't form very deep root structures when it's wet. And then when it gets dry really fast, they tend to not do so great because they don't have that deep roots to take care of that situation. Yep. And so I believe that some of the earlier planted corn should be fine. I think it's far enough along that it can chase the water, is what they call it, when the roots kind of go down with the water. But some of the later planted corn, it might be in trouble if it doesn't get a little more rain. And the same thing with the soybeans. And so they usually do a pretty good job of dealing with the stressors, soybeans do. But still the same, with all that rain, and now that it's dry, we got to get a little bit of rain to catch for those roots to be able to catch up.
Absolutely. So really, realistically, you want those to grow deep enough to where when it does get to the dry seasons that it, kind of reserves off of the water that deep. But instead, that didn't have the chance to grow the deep root system. So.
Yes, yeah.
That's interesting, man. Again, just it went from last year to just being from straight spring to summer almost, and now this year we flooded them and didn't allow to some plants at least to grow that deep root system. So, man, it's just a year in, year out struggle.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, we're real late, and in pretty much every single growth stage. I mean, anywhere from wheat harvest to the soybean blooming, all of it. So
absolutely. Well, again, if anybody out there as well has any questions, comments, concerns, or anything around that you might be able to think Jacob or James could answer, of course, phone lines are open at 620-251-6909 is that number to dial. Well, Jacob, here the last week or so, I know you've been getting a lot of more calls. Of course it is. We always talk about some creepy critter at some point, but millipedes are coming out.
Millipedes, yeah. Several calls from folks about worms in the house.
Worms quote, moving unquote, the, worms in the house.
Worms in the house. And okay, earthworms. Well, how would an earthworm get in the house? Because they don't generally come up out of the ground and move into indoors for any particular reason. I knew right away because I've seen it before. Millipedes, they're The more common one is going to be about an inch and a quarter long and pretty dark in color, almost black. And they're going to be very cylindrical and long, skinny, worm-like critters. But if you get a magnifying glass and look at them real close, you can see that they have lots of legs. Actually, there's a kind of a segmented body, kind of, and each segment has four legs, two on each side of the body, and they all move together, and that's what propels the little critter forward. And they can move through some very small cracks. And with all the wet weather, rainfall and everything, ideal spring environment for the population, the millipede population, to increase dramatically. I believe these are detritus feeders. They feed on organic residues and duff in the soil. But when the conditions start becoming unfavorable, they seek shelter. Because they don't survive very well in a dry environment. And because of that, they are looking for places to get in areas where there are quite a high population of millipedes. They start moving indoors. And that's when the phone starts ringing, because there are individuals that get the heebie-jeebies over these critters. And they say, well, I kill them today, but tomorrow there's the whole bunch of them back in the same place. And, of course, the question is, what can I do to control them? And the answer is sweep them up and put them in a bag and send them off to the landfill. If there's an area where you can identify where they're kind of coming in, and usually they're going to be coming in at the ground level, if you could spread a little diatomaceous earth along the foundation and the wall. Diatomaceous earth is abrasive. It's used as an insecticide, and the worms will pick it up on their bodies, and it abrades their bodies, and they die as a result. You might try to use that. As far as an insecticide, the residual insecticides that are sprayed on probably don't work very well, because the insect doesn't really pick it up very well. The insecticides might work, but you'd be out there every day doing that. So best thing to do, seal up the cracks if you can, sweep them up. I don't suggest that you use a vacuum cleaner. I've got an experience a few years back using a shop vac canister vacuum cleaner, and had a massive walnut caterpillar invasion coming in around my house. So I got the shop vac out and started sucking them up. And some of them can hang on pretty good with that. That was a high-powered shop vac. But after a few minutes, I started noticing an odor.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't good. And I stopped, and then I realized, yeah, those worms coming off of the ground going through about 200 miles per hour, they're that hose. They kind of get smashed up.
It's a massacre on the inside.
Yeah,
they
get macerated and mashed up, and I had to do a quick clean out of the shop vac. So, no. Probably not a good idea to use the vacuum cleaner to suck up those worms. But if you do, I hope that it doesn't, they don't get mangled up too bad.
Well, I had a question with that then, because you had mentioned they take this opportunity to seek shelter there. Careful there, Sam. But to seek shelter, to come on in. So would that mean that they don't necessarily habitat on the inside of their house?
No.
or any issues with that? Or
they would stay there if they had something to eat, but they're not going to get into your food stuff. They're actually pretty much harmless. They're just a nuisance. One of the things about millipedes is, for defensive reasons, they can emit a kind of a foul odor. So I have never smelled that, but I assume that it was, since it's in literature, it probably is not a pleasant odor. Sweep them up and get them out of the house. They're not going to bite you. Their mouth parts aren't big enough to do that, and they don't emit any poison or any toxin. They're just kind of a nuisance. It just, it's something you just endure for a little bit. It'll eventually quit because the population is going to die off fairly quickly outdoors because the environment is not suitable to support their livelihood, that is.
Do they not have a very long life cycle? Do they basically
I don't know off the top of my head. But. Yeah, they're not going to live for years anyway. It's cyclical, and some years we have quite a few of them that show up, yeah. And this is the time of the year that they do.
Yeah, well, you got to, I guess silver lining at the end of the day is they don't enjoy your house as much to where they're going to start their own family, start getting into your food, like that. So those are always the most annoying, but certainly little buggers. So real quick, before we hit at the top of the hour here, James, it looks like you've got something. Give me a little brief overview before we hit at the top of the hour, then we'll definitely hit on this when we hit the 8 o'clock. So what do we got over there?
Yeah, so along with all that rain that's been a mess for the crops, it's kind of on the pasture side of it. Half of our ground is pasture, and so right now the pastures are growing really well, actually probably a little too well because things are getting a little stimmy out there. But besides that, we're seeing a lot more weeds. Just there's a lot more rain. They're able to germinate and get growing a lot easier. And so it's pretty alongside the road ditches where you see all the flowers, but out in the middle of the field, we were getting some issues.
Absolutely.
And so it's Cerise lespediza and must thistles and all sorts of other things. And so.
Cool. So we'll talk a little bit about management as well as maybe what you can do in terms of before the year or something like that, because obviously it's, the rain just came out of nowhere, something like that. But again, it just seems like continual maintenance, not necessarily maintenance, but just continual check-ins on it so it doesn't get out of control. So again, we'll hit on that here on the other side of the break as well. We've got James Coover as well as Jacob Weber here in studio with us from the K-State Research and Extension offices. Gentlemen, thanks so much, and we'll check in here in just a minute.
Okay.
This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.